Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Welcome back to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beats, live from Four Winds Field in downtown South Bend, where the gates are open already for fans to come on out, enjoy a little dinner, find their seats for opening night for the South Bend Cubs. The home schedule begins tonight against those Timber Rattlers from Wisconsin, a little Cubs and Brewers, Midwest League style. Here in downtown South Bend. And, of course, you can hear the game here on WSBT Radio. Pregame at 6:45, first pitch at 7:05. And you will hear the voices of my next two guests. We've got Max Thoma and Brendan King, the voices of the South Bend Cubs, joining me in a luxurious suite down the third baseline amidst the concessions. And I can smell the brats and the hot dogs from here.
And your Philly steak nachos.
And my Philly. Oh, I forgot all about that.
Hey, I'm telling you.
Oh, my.
We got the Cubs bucks. We can get you you hooked up.
I was going
to
say, yeah. I may have to pay for it for the first time.
Yeah. Never pay for food.
Pathetic how I used to beg. Well, guys, good to see you. Wonderful to have you on the program for a couple of moments. Just as someone that you guys have broadcasted South Bend Cubs baseball for a few years, Max, I'll start with you. What is a night like tonight? What does it mean to you?
It's beautiful. You know, BK was talking earlier today. He used the word pageantry, and I think that's kind of a big part of it. Just seeing this group of new players out here on the field, many of them making their home debuts or playing a game at this ballpark for the first time, getting to see all the fans coming out. This is back-to-back years, by the way, that we're out here with you in a home plate suite, and it's like 70 beautiful. Degrees outside, which is also
incredible.
Super rare. You know, remember back in, you know, in 2022, it snowed in the 10th inning here. We opened in May here
right.
in 2021, and it was still freezing, even though it was like May 7th. So it's just a beautiful day, seeing all the fans back out here. And, you know, at the beginning of the baseball season, because baseball's so long, whether it's in the minors or in the majors, there's just such hope. There's so much hope that's just abound in any fan base. So it's just great to see, and we're going to have a ton of fun. There's so much new food here, new players, new talent, loaded farm system. BK and I are back together, which is always fun, and there's a lot to look forward to.
And you get to see the ballpark as it is one more time this year before changes are coming in the very near future. But, Brendan, what about you? What does this night mean to you?
I was about to say about what's coming still at the ballpark, you know, towards the back end of 2025 and 2026. I mean, you and I shared a couple great years together in the booth, Darren, ending with the championship in 2019.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you and I, well, you literally has seen this place grow. I mean, the apartments weren't even a thought yet when you showed up here, of course. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same thing for me. And kind of like Max just said, I mean, our first couple opening days, we were in Grand Rapids. And my first thought of that is Teddy Payne getting on the bus, and it was snowing sideways, 30 degrees. He goes, "Welcome to the Midwest League, kid." I said, "Okay." You know, it was my first opening day in South Bend. I was 23, but – yeah, I kind of think about this, Darren, too. I turned 30 this year, which is crazy. I mean,
my
first opening day here is when I was 23, and
we got an 18-year-old on the roster playing every day,
which is crazy. Yeah, Jefferson Rojas is 18, our starting shortstop. So that's crazy to think about. He doesn't turn 19 for another 2 weeks. So I think Nick Lavello, our new manager, put it well earlier too. This is a young team, but with a lot of talent and a lot of spark. And of course, you know, it's kind of been every other year for a championship here as of late. 19, 22, and hopefully 24 could be a good year.
So, Brendan, I'll let you go first this time. So give me someone from the South Bend Cubs roster that fans should know about and that interests you, and then, Max, you can go next.
Well, we just mentioned Rojas. I'll let Max talk about him a little later. But I'm going to go with a guy named Pedro Ramirez, who is also a top 30 prospect. He is an infielder, a switch hitter, couple hits in the ballgame on Sunday at Quad Cities. He had a great year last year, and he showed the ability to hit the ball for power and also hit the ball for contact. He also plays some second and third base. So I think he's a name that should be on many people's radar as well. The guy we saw start on opening day back on Friday, that was Drew Gray, left-hander, also a Cubs top 30 prospect. And the thing that excites me about Gray is he kind of got the taste of both spectrums of high school baseball. Started in Belleville down near Missouri and
sure.
Illinois. Yeah. And then he went to the prestigious IMG Academy down in Florida, where he was taken by the Cubs in the third round. Needed Tommy John surgery, missed a full year, came back last year with Myrtle Beach and shoved. First inning for the South Bend Cubs this year, he struck out the side. Looked pretty good. Finished with six Ks on opening day. Big, tall lefty. And he's wearing the number 34, which should remind some Cubs fans of another talented lefty of yesteryear.
Ah, they was from the big, great state of Texas, remember correctly, Mr. Wood. All right, Max, what about you?
Well, I think you hit a couple good ones there, BK. I want to say kind of under the radar guy, because we've seen some guys either drafted late or not drafted at all who really came here and slugged the crap out of the ball and moved through the system quickly. I'm thinking first baseman like Matt Mervis, who came here in April a couple of years ago, was just looking like a phenom, and he hasn't really stopped hitting since. Hayden McGeary last year was a guy who was drafted really late but just came on with an offensive surge. He was here for basically a cup of coffee because even in chilly temps in, you know, South Bend, Indiana in April, he was just doing his thing. And this year, I'm thinking that could be a guy like Brian Kalmer, who was an 18th round pick last year out of Gonzaga. Not a school known for baseball, but they've been pretty good on the diamond the last few years. Last year, got a cup of coffee in Arizona in the Complex League. And then in 32 games in Myrtle Beach, where we know, you know, the ball does not travel well, 10 home runs in 32 games. He's been off to a slow start in one series, three games. We got 129 left. I'm thinking this could be a guy, if he can find the groove he was in last year and in college, could make Four Winds Field look a little small and could be another candidate late in the draft who was money. I mean, that's the third to last round now, the 18th round.
That's right.
A guy who really has a whole lot of pop in the stick.
Brendan King, Max Thoma, my guest, South Bend Cub broadcasters, live from Four Winds Field. Okay, I got to ask someone. There's a Morrell on the South Bend Cubs roster. Give me the details.
Well, you and I watched his brother in the 2019 season, and, I mean, talk about superstardom. I think you can attest to this, too, that you knew right away, and I remember you always told the story about chatting with the scouts in the press box about, hey, this guy is going to be something.
A major leaguer.
And he's turned out to be exactly that. Now, Rafael, still very young. I think he's, what, 21? Might have just turned 22. Either way, so he's significantly younger than Chris, but we were talking about this on the field a second ago, Darren. He plays with the same spark. It's the same exact smile. It's the same exact laugh. Same exact level of energy. It's like if you took a carbon copy of Chris and printed it out a couple years later.
Love it.
They look the same. They're lanky. They throw hard. They play the infield. They play the outfield. And, you know, we still got to see. Now, Max mentioned what happened in Quad Cities. It was a 40-degree wind gust coming in off of the Mississippi River. So throw out any sort of stat that you saw from Quad Cities. 40-degree gust coming in from the river. No shot for anybody. Morrell's going to play left field tonight, and he'll be in the Cubs lot.
That might be the only time I'm glad the windows don't open at Quad Cities.
Oh, yeah. Well, that and when the Mayflies come, which
I still have not experienced,
but I've seen many photos and videos of it. You don't want to be there with
I
that.
I didn't end. Ever have to experience that either, but the pictures scare the daylights out of me. Okay, I'm going to ask you guys a very difficult question, and there's no wrong answer. Your answers are this: Pete Crow Armstrong, Cade Horton, Owen Casey, or Matt Shaw. If you could only keep one and think about the Cubs roster for the next 10 years, who do you keep?
You want me to lead off?
Oh, you, Max.
I'll take it first. I'm going to go with OC because Owen was one of the youngest guys, I think the youngest player pretty much, playing every single day, him and like Jackson Chorio last year in AA in the Southern League. And Owen began the year, his numbers were just leaping off the page. Everybody was so impressed, but the strikeout numbers were way up. Then when the baseball changed back to what it was used to, the strikeout numbers fell back, but the power still stayed. And he's a guy who's consistently had exit velos, like when they show in MLB games and you're like, oh my God, Stanton just hit one 112. Oh my God, Ohtani just hit one 114. Aaron Judge just hit one 115, and it was a ground ball out to short.
Wow.
That's what I see from Owen Casey, and he kind of tapped in, I think, even at South Bend, really, in the second half of that 2022 season. The ability, because he goes the other way so well.
Love
to pull the ball in the air with power was not something he was really doing a ton at the lower levels. I think he's doing that much better now. Really young guy, super cerebral. He talks about, you know, the stillness of Barry Bonds' head in his swing. He talks about how Aaron Judge has the best hip movement he's ever seen of any player. So just a guy who really just studies the game, knows the nuances, knows exactly what he needs to do and what he needs to work on. When things aren't going well, he knows what he needs to adjust to.
Is he only a corner outfielder, or if you needed him to play some center, could he play center, or is he more of a corner guy?
I think he's a corner guy. I think if you're going to move him anywhere, maybe you move him to first. If anything.
All right. All right, BK, what do you got?
I think my answer would be Matt Shaw if, in my opinion, the Cubs did not have the best defensive middle infield in baseball. I think Dansby and Nico got that on lock. Now, Matt mentioned at spring training and at Cubs convention, you know, a good 85-90% of his reps this offseason came at third base. So I think he realizes that might be his shot.
Okay.
He'll probably be in Triple A Iowa before we know it. But my answer, Darren, is going to be Cade Horton, because to me, he is a top-of-the-rotation guy. He's not somebody that's going to get moved to the bullpen. He is a starter. He's got starter stuff. And it's amazing that less than 2 years ago, he's playing third base in college. I mean, that's remarkable. And, of course, yeah. Now he became one of the best right-handed pitching prospects in the game. But I think the steps he took last year, his first Midwest League start came against Wisconsin at their place. But he just got better and better. I think the pitch to me, and, you know, you could definitely make a case for his slider, but to me the pitch that impressed me most last year was his changeup. And yeah. if you're going to be a top-of-the-rotation guy, I mean, I think that's the pitch you got to master, specifically the lefties. And I think for the Cubs, they found something in Shota Imanaga. I mean, he looks really sharp in his first couple big league starts. Javier Assad has been terrific. We'll see what happens with Jameson Taillon. But I think that number one spot for the Cubs is right up for grabs. And to me, in a very short time, it could be Cade Horton.
I picked the Chicago Cubs to win the NL Central at the start of the year, and I felt like they're going to win it by maybe 5 games over Cincinnati, and the Reds got a lot of issues right now. How comfortable, Max, Brendan, are you guys with where the Cubs roster is, knowing they blew an 8-0 lead last night?
Oh.
But beyond that, it just feels like they have the most complete roster, although I'm a little concerned about the back end of the bullpen. Alzolay concerns me a tad bit. I'll let you guys take it from there.
And it's definitely easy to say that after what we saw last night. I should say after what we saw. I actually went to bed with an 8-0 lead. I didn't know until
boss
Chris Hagstrom-Jones told us this morning.
That's nice. I was up for it.
I went from watching the national championship to going to bed, and Chris this morning is just like, yeah, it's a tough loss last night. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, Jose Quas, you know, a 7-run inning. I'm like, wow, I had no idea. But you got to feel good about it. I think it's such a fun division because the central divisions in the AL and the NL have kind of been the butt of jokes, it feels like, the last few years. But the NL Central is just loaded with quality farm systems right now. A lot of those young guys have come up to your St. Louis Cardinals recently, Scott, your Mason Wynn, Jordan Walker. So their farm system isn't as loaded. I'm trying to be positive here.
Tyler O'Neill just hit his 6th home run of the year for the Red Sox today. Another guy we let go. All the outfielders just are great once
they leave
St. Louis.
But that's all he does, right? I mean, that's kind of all he does. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm going to be quiet now.
I think you got to feel good about your chances if you're the Cubs in what is a weak division right now, and you got to feel pretty great about your chances moving forward in the next few years because, I mean, the question you just asked us about those last 4 guys, it's great to say that it's such a tough decision because those 4 guys amongst a group that is so congested, so loaded, are all phenomenal, and all 4 of those guys really could be in the bigs at some point this year. Certainly Owen Casey, certainly Pete Crow Armstrong has already been there. Cade Horton is, you know, a breath away, it feels like. And then Matty Shaw, with how fast he went through the farm system.
Jesus,
I mean, we were happy last year every time we saw his name in the batting order on Tuesday because you're like, hey, we'll probably have Matt Shaw the whole week here.
Yeah.
And it was not long before he was out of here, and he was a guy who, if he went out and went, you know, 1-for-4, the batting average is taking a decent dip. And if it's going 2-for-5, it's barely moving up, or if at all, because he was hitting 400 for so long. So there's just a riches. There's a lot of you know, you're kind of spoiled as a Cubs fan at the farm system right now. And the big league level is starting to play pretty well.
What do you think, BK?
Yeah, I mean, just to finish up that thought about Shaw, I mean, not only if you saw him on Tuesday were you happy, but there was a period we were at West Michigan, and he was hitting .393 one day. He was like, he's under 400. What's going on? What's wrong with this guy? He was up above 400 for nearly all of his time in South Bend. I agree with you. I mean, back out of the bullpen has not been the strong suit yet this season. It hurts that Justin Steele is out. I mean,
I think that
has something to do with it, that the starting rotation is just not going as deep in the games. I think Imanaga has been a great addition. But, you know, we saw Daniel Palencia close the final 3 innings the other day at Wrigley. I mean, there are multiple Palencia types right now kind of chomping at the bit at Triple A Iowa. Even Double A, Michael Arias, who was with us last year, is now kind of a fast-track reliever. They're going that sort of route with Palencia and Luke Little and now Arias. And Arias has 100-mile-an-hour stuff if he could just control it, which is just nuts. So there are guys that are looking for their chance in the big leagues, and the Cubs have kind of, you know, I don't remember the Cubs doing this when we worked together, Darren, of changing from starters to relievers and just kind of fast-track to the big leagues. That seems to be a new policy in the Cubs organization, that Palencia has done it, Little has done it, Arias is about to do it, Porter Hodge is another name. He was a starter on our Midwest League championship team. So At least in the bullpen, I think he got some options, and really the Cubs are just looking for guys to record some outs.
All right. One final question for each of you. Let's talk about the glorious lifestyle of being a broadcaster. Max, I'll start with you. You hear him in South Bend Cub games, but you also have a very, very other interesting job working in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm the first ever English radio voice of the Chicago Fire as of last April. Started a few weeks into the 2023 season, and that's been a treat to do games at Soldier Field throughout. I mean, it's a long season that begins at the end of February and ends in 3 weeks into October. But obviously it is not the grueling grind that is minor league baseball or baseball in general, because we're generally playing one game a week, sometimes two, and
sure,
the international break as well. But you know, just staying active, and it adds a whole lot of work and a whole lot of drive into our baseball season, too.
Is the goal call, I mean, is it epic?
It's not quite epic. It's not quite okay where I need it to be there yet.
You're not one of those Spanish guys?
No, and I'm not going to hold goal for, like, you know, 35 seconds like some of those, I mean, uberly talented guys can do.
Where, blow out your vocal cords.
Oh, yeah. I remember a handful of years ago driving with my dad in the car through Iowa. This is like maybe a couple decades ago when the U.S. team was in the Olympics, and the only way we could find the game on the radio was in Spanish. And really the only thing you needed to understand was when somebody said goal. And it was very obvious when somebody scored. And so that was nice.
Brendan King, goal. BK, what about you?
Everything's going well, man. You know, happy for Max's opportunity with the Fire. I had a good, cool chance to do some men's basketball for television for the first time this offseason over at Indiana State, which was special, of course, a 32-win team. And this is kind of my claim to fame. ISU, for the first time since 1979, was in the top 25.
How
first
cool
time since Larry Bird. Unfortunately, I was on the call the first game they were in the top 25, and they lost to Illinois State.
Yep.
Illinois State, which is my mom's alma mater, so she's going nuts. And then I'm like, well, I'm doing this for Indiana State. But I have the only Indiana State-ranked tape since 1979, which is not bad. So
that one was really funny because I had Illinois State's next game, and we started in the open with BK's voice saying that for the first time in 7 years, Illinois State had knocked off a ranked opponent. Yeah. I'm like, hey, I know this guy.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But Sycamores have lost their whole roster now.
It's crazy.
But I feel for mid-majors. This is not going to be fun for them, but Indy 500 is also coming up for you.
It is. Month of May is going to be fun. I'll be covering qualifying at the track. And, you know, it's going to be cool this year with all kinds of different racers. I mean, we'll see who enters and who runs it. But, yeah, I get to be part of the qualifying coverage down in Indy. And then I'll host the pre- and post-race show. And it's been a cool addition to the resume the last few years.
Awesome, guys. Continued success. Both of you guys will be listening tonight here on WSBT Radio. Who gets the first inning tonight?
That'll be Max.
So get things started. All right, guys, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Darren.
Oh, yeah.
Continued success, gentlemen. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Darren.
Sounds
Max
good.
Thoma, Brendan King, you'll hear him on the call in just about an hour here on WSBT Radio. We're live at Four Winds Field. We're back in a moment here on 960 AM WSBT.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.